following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everyone? This is End Time Headlines. It is Friday, August the 18th. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Before we get started on this tonight, on tonight's episode, rather, let us know in the comment section below that you are new, where you guys are joining us from. If you're new, let us know. That way we can acknowledge you on whatever platform you may be watching or listening from, whether it's Rumble or YouTube Live or Facebook Live, whatever the case may be. We'd love to hear from you. Again, of course, I'm Ricky Scaprell, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And tonight, I want to deal with the subject of the elephant in the room. Can we talk about the elephant that's in the room? What are we talking about tonight, Brother Ricky? What are you talking about, the elephant in the room? Listen, more and more young people are dying. And they're not just dying, they're dying suddenly. We're talking about 17-year-olds. We're talking about 18-year-olds. We're talking about 19-year-olds. But we're talking about the amount of people that are just dropping like flies is absolutely disturbing. And I know this is like a taboo subject. People, they want to tippy-toe around it. They don't want to talk about it. But we have to address this elephant in the room tonight. Here's a new article I found interesting, or a report, I should say, from the Telegraph. Heart attack hospitalizations at record levels since pandemic. Let me read that again. Heart attack hospitalizations are at a record level since the pandemic. Now, of course, this is going to be the official narrative. So we're going to read this, and then I want you to use your own God-given discernment when we go through this entire program tonight. Record numbers of people have been hospitalized with heart attacks in the wake of the pandemic. This is according to official figures. Health chiefs with a launch on Tuesday. Health chiefs will launch a campaign urging those with symptoms to seek help with fears that too many cases are being detected too late. Let me say that again. Too many cases of heart attacks are being detected too late. So what does that mean? Does that mean that the individual who is suffering the heart attack has already died? They've had cardiac arrest? And at this point, it's too late to even speak of the symptoms. This would be a suddenly event. The new figures for England show that, and again, this is based out of England. We'll talk about the United States in here in a minute. The new figures for England show that more than 84,000 patients were admitted to hospital. Again, you got to bear with me on the verbiage here because, again, this is not, whoever wrote this, it's a little more difficult to read here. It should read more than 84,000 patients were admitted to the hospital because of a heart attack in 2021 and 2022. This is a rise or an increase of more than 7,000 in 1 year. Of course, this follows warnings that heart deaths have risen by more than 500 a week since the first lockdown was implemented, with a fall in the numbers prescribed vital medication amid struggles to access GP care. Health officials are afraid that people are still failing to come forward, adding to the collateral damage caused by the pandemic. Now, what I found interesting in this piece was nowhere in the entire article did it ever conclude that there could be a possible link with the ouchie and these heart attacks. Again, all of it was referenced to the pandemic. Or in other words, I'm going to steal a page from Bishop Larry Ragland here. They're pointing their fingers to the want and not the ouchie. I just think that's interesting to me. All right, so we've concluded from this research, and there, and again, there's other sources out there, that there is there's a surge of individuals suffering cardiac events, heart attacks, etc., strokes. And this brings me to the next point. Have you noticed how many young people? I mean, this was unheard of years and years ago. Now, the proponents to this, the arguments that would oppose this would say, well, this has been going on for years. This has been happening for decades. There's always been young people that's had cardiac events, that's died suddenly, etc. But guys, the number of them is alarming. We're going to go through some of these today. Let's talk about this. I told you this is going to be the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Y'all remember this story? Tori Kelly, who is only 30 years of age, was hospitalized for blood clots after collapsing. Tori Kelly was reportedly in the hospital being treated for blood clots after she collapsed at dinner at a dinner party on a Sunday night. TMZ reported that the Nobody Loves singer 30 fainted after her heartbeat quickened while she was out with friends in downtown Los Angeles, and sources telling the outlet that she was out for a while. And again, according to the reports, the doctors found blood clots around her lungs and her legs. Here's more on that.
VMA cover story, Grammy-winning singer Tori Kelly recovering this morning after collapsing in public, reportedly now being treated for blood clots.
Overnight, ABC News confirming Grammy-winning singer Tori Kelly rushed to the hospital after collapsing while out with friends. Telling TMZ she passed out at dinner after her heart began beating rapidly, saying Kelly was out for a while. Sources close to the singer say she was carried to a friend's car and rushed to Cedars-Sinai Hospital, where doctors reportedly found multiple blood clots near her vital organs. From her first foray into the spotlight on American Idol and her award-winning gospel album, police fans across generations wishing the singer well. Sources say she's in and out of consciousness as doctors work to determine if her heart is in danger this morning.
Joining us now is ABC News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton with more. Good morning to you, Dr. Jen. So how common is it to hear about blood clots in a young person?
You know, we're seeing it absolutely can happen in young people.
Yeah, we're seeing it. How about we're seeing it on an unprecedented level, on an increased level? Like, I have never seen it in my lifetime in that early of age.
Responsible for 60 to 100,000 deaths in this country every year. The medical term deep vein thrombosis or pulmonary embolism, that's when a clot forms sometimes in the lower extremity in the venous circulation in the leg. It can then travel up to the heart, get lodged in the lung. It can travel to the brain. It can cause a stroke, a heart attack. You know, this is a significant issue, and it is a medical emergency.
All right, so what should we look for? What are the symptoms?
Well, listen, I think that the most important thing for people to understand is that, yes, it can happen to young people, particularly women on birth control, hormones, after surgery, if they sit.
If they take the ouchie ouch, maybe.
At a desk job, prolonged travel, or immobilization. In terms of the signs and symptoms, if you're talking about the leg, it's usually some focal tenderness.
And that's the thing, guys, we'll never know, because this thing will be, there'll be such a tight lid on this that no one will ever know this. I can name certain celebrities right now that nearly died, went through some crazy stuff, and you're never going to know the truth. We're never going to know the truth of this. This is why I talked about this tonight. The elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about, I should rephrase that. The elephant in the room that people are afraid to talk about. We talk about this off the cuff, off the camera, off the video, but we can't talk about this on video platforms, public arenas. Why? Because it will be removed. It will be silenced. It will be censored. It will be shadow banned. And we're taking a risk tonight. We're taking risk by talking about this taboo subject.
Or redness or swelling in the back of the leg and the calf. If you're talking about a clot in the lung, shortness of breath, cough, chest pain that's worse with inspiration or breathing, then you can see rapid respiratory rate, decreased oxygen saturation, and this could also be asymptomatic. This is personal for me. My daughter had one 2 years ago.
My brother as well. Yeah. It's so scary. Yeah. Tori Kelly, only 30 years old.
Right. So awareness.
So it's very sad. We pray for her. We pray that she recovers. And she has no complications from this, regardless of whatever the backdrop is of that. Again, we will never know. Trust me, you're not going to know the truth of that. But again, young Americans are dying at alarming rates. and it's actually reversing years of progress. According to this report from the Wall Street Journal, for decades, advances in healthcare and safety steadily drove down death rates among American children. And an alarming reversal, rates have now risen, listen to this, church, to the highest level in nearly 15 years, particularly driven by homicides, drug overdoses, car accidents, and suicides. So we have these four categories that they're really pointing to. But nobody's, but if you read on here, the uptick among younger Americans accelerated in 2020, though the want itself wasn't a major cause of death for young people. Researchers say social disruption caused by the pandemic exacerbated public health problems, including worsening anxiety and depression, greater access to firearms, dangerous driving, and more lethal narcotics also helped push up death rates.
Life expectancy for the average American has dropped for the second year in a row. It's now 76 years. While life expectancy fell around the world in 2020 because of COVID, other countries have rebounded in 2021. But the United States continued its decline, hitting the lowest point in nearly two decades. Dr. Stephen Wolf is Director Emeritus of the Virginia Commonwealth University Center on Society and Health. I know we're focusing on just the last 2 years, but this is a longer trend, is it not?
Absolutely. Our problems really began back in the 1990s. Life expectancy has been increasing in all industrialized countries, but starting then, the pace of increase in the United States began to fall off. And then after 2010, it just stopped increasing altogether and plateaued.
What are the factors in that? Why is that happening?
Well, it's being driven by an increase in death rates in young and middle-aged adults, 25 to 64. And most of those relate to the problems of drug overdoses, suicides, alcohol-related causes. These are sometimes called deaths of despair, but also cardiometabolic diseases like diabetes and other conditions caused by obesity.
And I know that you've taken a closer look at that younger age range. What were you finding?
Well, we found that death rates increased in that young adult and middle-aged group, but there was something disturbing in the new data for 2021. Yes, it showed this massive decrease in life expectancy, but it also showed an increase in death rates in children and teenagers. And an increase of that size has not been seen in my entire career.
And what are the factors that play into that?
Well, keep in mind that death rates have been falling dramatically in young people due to progress in pediatric medicine and curing cancer and deaths from birth defects. We've also markedly reduced the risk of deaths from car accidents.
Wow. So an increase in children and young adults. And he said, I have never seen this in his entire career. So again, what is going on? Something's happening. We can ignore it. We can sweep it under the rug. We can try to drown it out, whatever you want to do. But this is happening. This is a real thing that's happening. And more young people are dying. Here's another story that we shared on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. A 19-year-old healthy athlete died suddenly.
A star on and off the football field in the eyes of friends and family, 19-year-old Mid-American Nazarene student athlete Mizell Law. He collapsed during a practice. He died hours later. Tonight, his parents are dealing with a gut-wrenching reality. Fox 4 Tia Johnson live at Overland Park Regional, where the young player was rushed. Tia, this family just trying to process it all.
Yeah, John, they are, because this is something that they didn't see coming. Mizell Law's parents tell me this is the hospital where their son fought for his life. He got ill during football practice a little over a week ago and died Sunday from heat-related injuries.
Sudden.
So heat-related injuries, 19 years old. I mean, think about, guys, when I was a young child all the way up, even to 19 years old, we were out in the summer. I mean, our kids are playing out here in Georgia, in the Georgia heat. It was like 100 degrees, and they're out playing. They're drinking plenty of water. They're drinking Gatorade. They're running. They're sweating. I'm 46 years of age, and growing up in school, high school students, football students, we would hear stories of heat exhaustion, even some cases of heat stroke, but they recovered, but nothing like this ever. And it's like, you may hear one story like this a year. And again, when I grew up, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, listen, if you're listening to this on YouTube or Rumble or Facebook Live, and this was a common occurrence when you were growing up and you're the same age as me, and maybe it was a common occurrence in your state or your region or your location, but it was not where I was at. I was in Kentucky most of my years, and we just never heard of anything like this. This is just, it's sad. It's very sad. It's heartbreaking, and it's very disturbing, to say the least.
Suddenly, they can be gone, and it's not a great feeling at all.
Gone, but never forgotten.
When he was young, going to, you know, Mission Trail Elementary, at 5 years old, what did you call him?
I called him the mayor.
Mayor Mizell, why?
The mayor would come out of elementary school, pre-K, and he'd go, hey, Miss Johnson, hey, Mr. So-and-so.
Memory after memory, the parents of Mizell Law shared just how much he was loved.
His best friends would tell us he was the one kid out of all his age group that would be like, I love you, man.
A giver with a big heart, great friend, and kind are some ways Yesenia and Paul describe their youngest son. The Blue Valley North graduate went on to play football at Mid-America Nazarene. He had dreams of working for ESPN and giving back to his community. He was in the process of launching Gorilla Bear, a foundation to help kids pay for sports camp, shoes, and uniforms.
He was getting the steps together, but he never got to finish it.
Because on Sunday, that big heart stopped beating. Law's family says he was at practice on the 22nd, banged his knee against another defensive lineman's. Mizell went to the locker room and was found minutes later experiencing something like a seizure. His body temperature reached 108 degrees. And even though he fought for nearly a week, Law never recovered. But his dreams will live on.
We are hard workers and we are finishers. We will finish it, and he will get the foundation that he wanted, always wanted to, and his memory will live on.
Wow, guys, so sad. So again, lift his family up, lift his parents up and his family in prayer, because they're going to need it. I can't imagine being a father of two young boys myself. It just, I can't imagine. I can't bring my mind to that. And it's just so sad. Then we go to Texas, where a 16-year-old cheerleader goes into cardiac arrest and dies. Again, according to the report, she was a rising high school junior, and she died suddenly while attending a cheer camp at Texas A&M.
And new at 10, the Katy community is remembering a high school cheerleader. Her parents are sitting down for an interview after they say she suffered cardiac arrest at a cheer camp.
Grace White is live at Morton Ranch High School with the interview you only see here on KHOU 11 News tonight. Grace?
I sat down with Callie Mitchell's parents tonight. They are heartbroken but determined to tell her story. She would have been a junior here at Morton Ranch High School this fall, and they told me she died doing what she loved, cheerleading.
She was like sunshine.
For Michelle and Scott Donahue.
Always wanted to befriend anyone and everyone.
There is no greater loss than their 16-year-old daughter, Callie Marie Mitchell.
16.
She left for cheer camp on a Monday, and she was super excited.
Her mother will never forget the moment the cheer coach called from the camp they were attending at Texas A&M.
She called me and said, hey, does Callie have trouble waking up in the morning? I was like, no, never.
Her parents jumped in their cars and drove to College Station. When they got there, they learned that same coach had performed CPR on Callie.
If it wasn't for Eberly, we would have never had the chance to say goodbye.
Callie was airlifted from College Station to Texas Children's in Houston. She died on August 1st.
Probably was a cardiac arrest that happened first. That was caused from long QT syndrome.
It's a genetic disorder that affects the electrical system that controls your heart.
If this for any other parents out there, I know they do physicals every year. EKGs are not part of a physical.
Now, again, guys, I know what some people are going to say, well, right there, Brother Ricky, this is not tied to the ouchie ouch and this. Look, I'm just saying, I'm not saying every one of these stories are. All I'm saying is I'm just, again, 46 years of age, I never heard of this. I went all through elementary school, middle school, high school. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids, and even outside of our district. We may have heard of one a year of these cases like this. So, you know, even if it's not the ouchie ouch, there has to be something that is causing these quote unquote rare genetic disorders of the increase of this. Guys, listen, we just listened to a report where a professional in this business has never seen the increases of deaths in these young people like he has seen in his entire career. Next week, because of my age, I have to go get screened with a lower GI or a colonoscopy. Now, it used to be the golden age was 50 years of age. But watch this. Because of the explosion of cases of colon cancer in younger people. Do you realize how many people are dying of colon cancer that are in their 20s? And listen, I know one of them that died in their 20s, 23 years old. Colon cancer died, 20s, 30s. This is something that you'd hear about in people in their 60s and 70s. What is going on?
Physical, get an EKG.
Their daughter, who started out cheering at the age of 2 for her brother's Little League team, never did.
What did Callie teach you?
Faith.
Faith, for sure.
And even on Instagram, she took a stand for what she believed. Her parents want her to be remembered for the last
words. Wow, that's awesome.
She wrote, "His plan over mine."
More than.
Well, praise God. At least, you know, we hope and we believe that she's in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And hopefully these parents will see her again and be reunited with her again.
Anything, she would want them to have faith in God and know that they are redeemed.
Then we have 17-year-old Caleb White, who was a high school basketball player for the state of Alabama, who also died after collapsing on the court.
Valley High, the 17-year-old medical and basketball star. Caleb White community coming together to honor the life of a high school basketball star. Caleb White passed away last week following a medical emergency at Pinson Valley High. The 17-year-old was just getting ready to start his senior year.
WVTM 13's Aaron Llewellyn joins us live from Pinson Valley High School tonight. And Aaron, understandably, emotions are running really high after this tragedy.
Yeah, guys, Sherry, it was a very emotional evening here at Pinson Valley High during tonight's candlelight vigil. Now, we heard several stories about Caleb and the kind of person that he was, many saying that he was a leader on and off the court and saying he always had a way to make someone laugh. But what people here will miss most is his infectious smile.
Mighty are the works of your hands.
A tight-knit community coming together to mourn the loss of 17-year-old Caleb White.
I'm not angry at God. I just had to understand the purpose. No one lives such a great life and impacts so many people without a purpose.
White impacted lives on and off the court, and even though his light has dimmed, his family wants people to know he was more than just a star athlete.
He was a great person, a loyal friend, a good student. He was witty. He was funny. He loved to make people laugh. He liked TikTok. We already know he was afraid of dogs.
And that's what many will miss about Caleb most. But no one knows that pain more than his brother Cameron, who says he was with him every step of the way.
It's a hard loss because I know that I'm losing somebody that I can go to at any time, talk to at any time. And I just know that he's in a better place now. Caleb's always with me. So it's like he's gone in the body. He's still in the spirit. So
But it's hard for some to imagine a 17-year-old's life that looks so promising taken too soon. Many are still processing Caleb's death.
I'm still wishing I wake up, you know. Just been with the family most of all, trying to be strong for them. It's tough, you know, I have my moments where I see some a video or tribute and I just break down crying. And then there's times where I think I'm doing good.
Again, guys, so sad. Again, please keep all of these families in your prayers, the parents, the grandparents, the coaches, the people that were all impacted by these losses. If you guys didn't see this story, this was a big one that made headlines as well. LeBron James' son, Bronny, 18 years of age, suffers cardiac arrest during a USC basketball practice.
We are getting word that Bronny James, who is going to be a freshman basketball player at USC, suffered cardiac arrest while at a practice yesterday. Let me read a statement that was just provided to us by the family. It says, yesterday while practicing, Bronny James suffered a cardiac arrest. Medical staff was able to treat Bronny and take him to the hospital. He is now in stable condition and no longer in the ICU. We ask for respect and privacy for the James family, and we will update the media when there is more information. LeBron and Savannah, the parents of Bronny, wish to publicly send their deepest thanks and appreciation to the USC medical and athletic staff for their incredible work and dedication to the safety of their athletes. So again,
guys, I want to point this out. I am not saying, I want you to hear me clearly, I'm not saying every single one of these individuals was directly linked to the ouchie ouch. But what I am saying is that we cannot overlook that this is unprecedented. This is disturbing. The number of young people, 17, 16, 18, 19, 30, that young, suffering cardiac arrest, collapsing, dying of heat stroke, blood clots in the lungs and the legs and the heart. This is just unbelievable. And again, but the really sad thing is we will truly never know. We will truly never know the truth. We'll never know because again, it will be tight-lipped. There'll be a cap on this and it will not be known to the general public. And I don't have to elaborate why that is. We're all smart enough to understand this. Now I want to go to what they're warning us about in the future. What they're warning us about coming this fall and winter. Because they're already saying there is a resurgence of the wah-wah that's coming. That it's here. And they are imploring people to go out and get more ouchy ouch because the wah-wah is coming. It's not a matter of if, but when it's knocking on our door again.
Just when you were letting your guard down when it comes to COVID comes some concerning news. The CDC says the number of people testing positive with COVID are up for patients visiting the hospital. Now, it's not an alarming increase, but it is something to watch. Eyewitness News reporter NJ Burkett takes a closer look with tips on how to stay healthy.
I'm not seeing any of these guys with masks, and, you know, they're not hacking up, so I feel pretty safe.
Ronnie Clay says she's not worried, and apparently she's not alone. The fact is, there are very few people wearing masks in either the streets or in the transit system. But there are indications that COVID-19 is slowly making a comeback. Dr. Len Horowitz is a pulmonologist at Lenox Hill Hospital.
I would say at the latter part of the winter and early spring, I barely saw a case, and now it's one or two cases a week.
In June, New York City saw an average of 277 cases of COVID-19 every day. For July, that's up more than 5% already. Nothing close to the human catastrophe of 2020, when hundreds were dying every day in New York City, and the city was practically locked down.
We can expect that as the cases track up over the summer, as the weather cools and people come indoors, we will see a rise in cases, a surge in cases, and maybe hospitalizations.
9 out of 10 New Yorkers have had at least one dose of the vaccine, but just 16%.
And here we go.
Have had the updated vaccine, known as the bivalent, first made widely available last fall. Those who haven't had it are urged to get it.
And there you go.
Vaccines are still widely available, and an additional bivalent dose is recommended for those 65 and older, and for people with chronic illnesses or those who are immunocompromised. The virus continues to mutate, and the CDC says updated vaccines will be offered to all Americans in the coming months.
Ding, 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 ding. All right, here's another report. The CDC is preparing for a winter, this winter, with three bugs out there. The want-want, the flu, and RSV. So this trifecta, the CDC is telling us to be prepared because it's coming. Even as the nation is faced with blistering heat waves already this summer, doctors and, for example, Dr. Mandy Cohen, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, is already thinking ahead to cold and flu seasons this winter. Quote, we're going to have three bugs out there, three viruses circulating. We've already told you what they are. We need to make sure the American people understand that all three of these and what they can do to protect themselves. And you want to take a guess, ladies and gentlemen, of what that means that we are to do to protect ourselves. All right, then this last story is coming out of the United Kingdom once again. This is a bit disturbing. The United Kingdom scientists begin developing ouches against a new pandemic. What is this new pandemic? Well, they have called this Disease X. According to the report, UK scientists have begun developing these ouches as an insurance against a new pandemic caused by an unknown disease X. The work is being carried out at the government's high security Porton Down Laboratory Complex in Wiltshire by a team of more than 200 scientists. So again, more than 200 scientists are working on a new ouch for a disease that they're warning about called Disease X. They have drawn up a threat list of animal viruses that are capable of infecting humans and could in future spread rapidly across the globe. Which of them will break through and trigger the next pandemic is unknown, which is why they're referring to this as Disease X. Sky News was escorted around the site, which is run by the UK Health Security Agency, to see the work being done in high containment labs. One professor who is the head of the UK Health Security Agency told Sky News, quote, what we're trying to do here is ensure that we prepare. Again, prepare. Haven't they? Isn't this what they've been saying? Isn't this what the United Nations is saying that we're preparing you for? The CDC is preparing you for it. The World Economic Forum is preparing you for it. The elites are preparing. The governments of the world are preparing. Bill Gates is preparing. They're all preparing for the next pandemic.
We cannot kick this can down the road. If we do not make the changes that must be made, then who will?
Here in the United Kingdom, these 200 scientists are preparing so that if we have a new disease X, a new pathogen, we have done as much of that work in advance as possible. Oh, yes, because they were feverishly at work ahead of the last pandemic that went around the globe. Quote, hopefully we can prevent it. A pandemic, that is. But if we can't and we have to respond, then we have already started developing ouches and therapeutics to crack it. Aren't you excited? Aren't you comforted? And aren't you going to sleep better tonight knowing that they've already thought of you and they've got it ready for you? Scientists at the center are now involved in monitoring several high-risk pathogens, including bird flu, monkeypox, and hantavirus, a disease spread by rodents. The report goes on to say that one early success is the world's first ouchie ouch against Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever, which is a disease that spreads by ticks and has a fatality rate of 30%. Oh, and by the way, they're already warning us in America that tick-borne viruses are an all-time high. We talked about that a couple weeks ago on a podcast.
In the tri-state area, the risk of tick-borne illness is rising, with more people contracting Lyme disease.
According to New York's health department, more than 2,000 cases were reported last year, up from 2021, when the number was closer to 800.
And doctors are also seeing more cases of a rare life-threatening allergy from tick bites.
And now, once again, Florida officials have sounded the alarm on dengue fever as it grapples with a spike in cases. According to the report from the New York Post, a rise in dengue fever cases had prompted Florida officials to issue another health alert for the mosquito-borne illness, which has so far infected at least 10 people across the state. Now, this doesn't even include the malaria threat. The state's Department of Health has now placed Broward County, which includes Fort Lauderdale, under an illness alert. The county is the second after Miami-Dade to be warned about the spread of this viral infection. So, guys, let's do a final assessment here. We can no longer deny that something unusual, bizarre, and unprecedented is happening. Young people are dying at alarming rates. Again, we will never know the truth of what is actually causing this. Some of these are being reported as one thing. Some are not disclosing the very source of this, which raises suspicions there alone. But then again, there's the others that will be scrubbed. You'll never know. You will get the official narrative from the mainstream media, as it's always been. But we cannot overlook the fact that we can sit here and argue all day long. Is it this? Is it that? The cause of this? But the bottom line is it's happening. Young people are passing away at a level that we've never seen before. That is alarming scientists. It is alarming researchers, psychologists, and those who are professionals in these fields that analyze these things. We have been warned over and over again by agencies, governments, elites, organizations, that it's not a matter of if, but when the next pandemic will be here. And they're saying that it could be far worse than the last pandemic. They've already made provisions for this. They've already made plans for it. And they're already preparing for it. And then, last but not least, biblically speaking, again, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, all tell us, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there will be pestilences, plural tense, in the last days. And again, that word and that Greek word and the understanding of that word pestilence or pestilences comes from a Greek word meaning a virus or a disease that leads unto death. So as Christians, as believers, this is something that should not catch us off guard. We knew that this was coming. We were warned that this was coming. But now we're seeing something, again, that we in our lifetime, and I would say in our generation, has never witnessed or experienced before. So I don't believe, personally, I don't believe that we're going to see this trend slow down anytime soon. I believe you're going to hear about this more and more and more, about more and more young people dying and passing away suddenly. Sudden heart attack, suddenly collapsing, suddenly having a heat stroke, suddenly having blood clots that were never detected. Suddenly, it's alarming, it's disturbing, but this is why I want to close with this. I want to implore you. I want to implore you as a family, as the head of the household, if you're a husband, if you're a wife, or whatever the case may be, you represent your family, you're listening to this podcast, you're watching this podcast, please go to Psalm 91, memorize this passage of scripture and declare it over your family. Come on, let's do this right now. Let's close this broadcast right here tonight, declaring the word of the Lord over our household and over our children and our grandchildren in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray this together. We're not going to read this. We're going to pray this. Father, you said that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, you said that we can say of the Lord that you are our refuge and our fortress, and you are our God, and in you we will trust. Surely you shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. You shall cover us with your feathers, and under your wings we shall take refuge. Your truth shall be our shield and buckler. We shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noon. Day. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but we declare it shall not come near us. Come on, somebody. It shall not come near our household. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made you, God, our refuge. Even the Most High, our dwelling place, no evil shall befall us. No plague shall come near our dwelling. For you are giving your angels charge over us. They're keeping us in all of our ways. And in their very hands, they're bearing us up, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Come on. This is exactly what Jesus said in the book of Luke. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. The young lion and the serpent we shall trample under our feet. Come on. We need to tell the devil, get under our feet. Sickness under our feet. Pestilence under our feet. Fear, worry, and anxiety under our feet in Jesus' name. Because we've set our love upon you. Therefore, you shall deliver us, and you will set us upon high, because we have known your name, and we shall call upon you, and you will answer us. You will be with us in trouble. You will deliver us and honor us. I love verse 16 of Psalm 91. And with long life, come on, I want everybody to repeat this. And with long life, you will satisfy us and show us the joy of our salvation. Come on, do you receive this word tonight? Receive this prayer, receive this declaration over your family, over your marriage, over your children. Declare this over your household and believe in Jesus' name. Come on, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. EndTimeHeadlines.org, right there above me, bookmark our site, get our free app, download it today. It's available on Apple, Android. Go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. Type in EndTime Headlines, look for our official ETH logo, download the app, hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be ready to go with every headline, every broadcast, every podcast that we release. It's going to be right there at your fingertips. This is the best way to keep up with our ministry. And as always, guys, if you would like to support this ministry, there's two different ways you could do that. You can give electronically right here on your screen. Go to the app, go to the bottom where it says donate, or go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org. When you click there, there's a place right there when you click on those links, and you can give by PayPal, you can give by credit card. We also have a Cash App, and we also have Venmo. You can find our handles at endtimeheadlines, again, for Venmo, for Cash App, all that's there. Or if you'd like to get by check or money order, you could do that by making it out there on your screen at Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, we pray that you would pray about becoming a monthly partner, because without your help and support and your partnership, we would not be able to do this on a week-to-week basis. So we thank you. We appreciate you. And listen, we appreciate your prayers, and we covet your prayers. Wanted to give you a quick update. Many of you guys, you know that I've been dealing with another bout of quote-unquote gastritis or ulcer or both. We went to a GI specialist yesterday, after his assessment of my history and everything going on. He believes it's probably an ulcer, which again, we can treat this. This is something that can be treated with proper medication, proper diet, avoidance of things that cause it to begin with. So these are things that we're already implementing, and I am feeling better day by day, week by week. So it's getting there. It's slowly getting there, but out of precautionary measure, pressure because of my age. We want to do the right thing. So next, not tomorrow, but next Thursday, I believe it's the 24th. I don't have that right in front of me, but next Thursday morning, I've already scheduled myself to get a full endoscopy, colonoscopy. We're going to do the full package, just knock it out one shot because of my age. We want to make sure everything is great. Get a good, clean bill of health in Jesus' name. So listen, I appreciate your prayers and your intercession for Brother Ricky and for our ministry. Just agree with me. Matthew 18:19 says, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done. I'm asking that you agree with me that that the report of this, of the procedures will be a good report. It'll be a clean bill of health. We'll get healed up and we'll be ready to go in Jesus' name. So I love you guys. I appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much for your cards. I've gotten cards in the mail, emails, messages, all these things. And it means so much to me and our ministry that you guys care that much for us. So again, we appreciate you. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, that subscribe button, that push notifications. It pushes our material out there on the algorithm so it can be seen on YouTube, Rumble, and these platforms as well. So don't forget to do that before you sign off today. So guys, we're going to see you guys next Monday. When we come back following this weekend. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.